From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. More than 30 people were killed by ISIS attacks in Baghdad this morning, and ISIS is leaving a trail of IEDs elsewhere in Iraq.
We'll have that story in a moment, but first, another big drop today on Wall Street at the opening bell after a series of difficult days around the world for global markets. So is this just falling oil prices or a sign of deeper trouble in the global economy? Larry Summers is the former U.S. Treasury Secretary under President Bill Clinton, former top economic advisor under President Obama, and now an economist at Harvard. I sat down with him this morning at his home outside Boston. Larry Summers, welcome back to Here and Now.
Glad to be with you.
What do you think is going on in the stock market right now? Why has it dropped about 1,500 points in the last month?
There's been a negative reassessment of prospects for the global economy, the prospects of what I and others have called secular stagnation. Look more real today than they did a few months ago. The news out of Europe has been continuously discouraging. The risks that the United States will remain in a somewhat deflationary situation look greater than they did 2 months ago. The news out of China is not all the way to alarming, but it's certainly not highly encouraging. And so it's a combination of many different developments, none of which are favorable for growth. And of course, it feeds on itself. A lower and more volatile stock market creates a world with more uncertainty, which discourages investment, which in turn makes economic performance get worse.
And when you say secular stagnation, you're talking about what?
I'm talking about a situation where, for more than just a transitory period associated with a recession, the economy's capacity to produce, and especially for there to be demand for all that is produced, is not enough to fully employ the population.
You're talking about a lot of different things happening around the world, and a lot of these things are fears that people have. But do you believe that those fears are justified, that Europe is going to go back into recession, that China is entering a slowdown?
I believe those risks are rationally assessed significantly greater than they were several months ago. And that's enough of a reason for people to judge, revise downwards their prospects. I think in Europe, the risks are particularly great. There's a systematic mistake that people make, which is they confuse stopping the financial hemorrhaging with making everything okay. And so people thought when the financial hemorrhaging was staunched in the United States in 2009, that things were okay and we could go back to budget cutting. And the consequences were that we've had a much slower recovery than we could have had. People in Europe believed that when it became clear that the Eurozone was going to hang together, that everything would be okay, and that didn't happen. There's a lesson that we need to learn, which is that it takes a long time to firmly reestablish recovery, and that you need a lot of energy and demand directed at that objective. And that's the mistake that keeps being made around the world.
So is it a mistake then for the Fed to end its bond buying stimulus program this month?
It certainly is no time for the Fed to be raising interest rates. Deflation, not inflation, is the greater risk today. Not enough spending, not overspending, is the greater risk today. The Fed has carried on a policy that was set quite some time ago, and I don't have a quarrel with that judgment. After all, the objective of quantitative easing policies is in substantial part to bring down long-term interest rates, and the 10-year Treasury has moved from about 3% at the beginning of the year to about 2% today, and that's going to, over time, translate into mortgage relief for homeowners. But I do absolutely believe that we need to keep our eye on the fact that slowdown and deflation are our greater risk, much as so many voices want to turn the debate to what at this point look very hypothetical fears around inflation.
So if you were Fed chair, you would be ending quantitative easing now as well?
You know, I don't answer questions that are put in quite that way, but I have no quarrel with the existing policy. I do have a quarrel with those who are recommending that as a matter of urgency, policy be further tightened.
What about on the fiscal side? At what point will it be time for Washington to really start thinking about the U.S.'s long-term debt? We saw just yesterday that the deficit is more than $400 billion.
I would put it in a very different way. We saw yesterday that the deficit was 2.8% of GDP, that is smaller relative to GDP than we've had at any time in the last 40, that we had on average over the last 40 years.
You're saying that's healthy.
And that's a pretty good, that's a pretty good deficit figure. Are there issues for the long run? Yes, there are. But we have had a massive excess of focus on financial debt. But I'm much more worried about the legacy we are leaving our children of inadequate infrastructure, of bridges that are on the brink of collapse, of airports that are a national embarrassment. And something remarkable happened last week. The IMF, the international organization that's traditionally the leading advocate of austerity, asserted in its flagship publication that proper infrastructure investment programs paid for themselves in the form of lower debt burdens. I would just ask this question. If a time when the interest rate is 2% and the construction unemployment rate in double digits, is not the time to fix Kennedy Airport, is not the time to clean up schools with crumbling paint, when will that time ever come?
But if that time didn't come when we were in the midst of a financial crisis and a very deep recession, and people didn't build high-speed trains all across the country and update our road infrastructure, then why would it happen now? What is going to convince people who were unconvinced then?
Hopefully what will convince them is the rather unfortunate legacies of the choices they made at that time, in terms of the fact that in this country right now, more than one in seven men between 25 and 54 are not working. That's a profound threat to our social fabric, and that's something we've got to be addressing in a much more serious way than we are today.
I want to ask you one more question, Larry Summers. It's a little off the track here, but it's something that I've been asked many times by friends, peers, about their own personal job situation, which is, if somebody came to you and said, I've got a job right now, but I haven't had the kind of raises that I'd like to see in recent years, I haven't been promoted the way that I'd like to be promoted, but I don't have another job to go to yet, should I leave this job that I'm not happy with before I have another job to go to? What would you tell them?
This is still an economy with a lot of insecurity. Firms are hunkered down. Firms that are laying people off tend not to be firms that are rushing to provide new opportunity to people from the outside. So people who have a secure, if not ideal situation, probably in their own interest, should be cautious.
Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, former top economic advisor to President Obama, now an economist at Harvard. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Good to be with you.